Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. The North Carolina Council of Churches is a group that's not unaccustomed to controversy. Founded in the first half of the 20th century with a mission of combating segregation, the council has spoken out regularly on a host of important and challenging issues. Earlier this week, I got a chance to sit down with the council's executive director, the Reverend Dr. Jennifer Copeland, to discuss some of the current issues on the group's agenda, including gun violence and immigration policy.
Well, Jennifer Copeland, welcome to News and Views. Thanks for being with us.
Glad to be here, Rob. Thanks for asking me.
North Carolina Council of Churches, you've been leading it now for a good while.
A little more than 3 years. I can no longer say I'm the new kid on the block.
Exactly. So tell our listeners a little bit more. I mean, they may not be familiar with this organization and why it exists and what it works on.
Certainly. I have been known to say that the North Carolina Council of Churches is one of the best-kept secrets in North Carolina. We've been here since 1935. Most people think that we're a new startup, perhaps, because when they hear about us, it's the first time they've heard. But indeed, we've been here since 1935, began for the purpose of addressing racial inequality as it was manifesting itself, particularly in Durham, North Carolina. 30 years later, the country and the council began to see some progress in things like the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act, which I think speaks to the long haul of the work that we do, the work that the council does, the work that a lot of us do who try to advocate for justice and for human rights and for the peace that God would have us live into.
And obviously your agenda has grown a lot since then. Beyond racial justice, there are a lot of other issues you're working on, from preserving our natural environment to immigrant rights to gun safety. That's an issue that's sort of risen to the top of the charts in recent years, unfortunately, because of so many tragedies happening in our country. Talk to us a little bit about what's going on with the effort to combat gun violence in our society.
We are holding a summit next week.
So November 15th?
November 15th. Right. Intentionally planned to be the week after this midterm election so that we might have an inkling of how the North Carolina General Assembly will be comprised in the coming long session. The idea for next Thursday is to bring together the leaders of various organizations and entities, community groups, sometimes school leaders, all who are concerned about gun violence protection at the high level. So we don't mean to exclude anybody that might want to learn more about it, but what we're trying to do is organize a group of folks that can work together to bring some sensibility to what's been going on in our country. We understand that gun control and gun rights are a very sensitive issue, and
sure,
we would like to change the conversation from the polarizing conversation that seems to dominate the airwaves to a conversation where people could sit down and say, well, these are the rights that I want to keep as a gun owner, and others might sit down and say, well, these are the protections that I would like to have as a citizen. How can we sit down together and come to a meeting of the minds that would allow us to have both and?
Well, and obviously with the tragedies that have been taking place in a lot of religious congregations, this is an issue that's very front and center, both generally and very specifically for folks who are working in religious congregations in our country right now. We talked off air before we went on here about the idea of metal detectors and police guards in religious congregations, and that seems like a lousy way to go forward, to have that be a permanent part of our landscape when you're talking about people worshiping Friday, Saturday, or Sunday in this country.
Well, not only is it a lousy way to go forward in our faith communities, it's becoming increasingly the default choice for our schools and for many of our public venues in our communities. And so what it does, in my opinion, is it creates a culture of fear. So we're always afraid, even when there's really no boogeyman out there to be afraid of. What we need to do is shift the conversation and begin to think of ways that would keep us safe, really safe.
And thereby have perhaps more freedom.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Imagine being safe and free at the same time.
Speaking of the boogeyman that's unfortunately been conjured up by some of our political leaders, the issue of immigration is an important one that I know that the council takes a strong stance on as well. We've, of course, been witness in recent days to the really, truly deplorable ads that have been run, stoking irrational fears about this sort of straggling band of migrants that's making its way through Central America and Mexico. What has the council been doing in this world?
One of the ways I want to answer that question for you, Rob, is to back up just a little bit and say more about the general ethos of the council and our effort always to refract these issues of the day, whether they are gun violence protection, immigration, whatever the issue is, try to refract that issue through the lens of faith. And for us at the Council of Churches, that's going to be the prophetic witness of the Old Testament, the gospel witness of the New Testament. So with that frame in mind, what do those places in Scripture have to say to us about immigrants? And if you count all the verses in Scripture where God is helping us understand how to treat immigrants, how to treat sojourners, the travelers among us, there are hundreds of verses in Scripture that help us understand what we need to do with this group of folk who are winding their way up to the border.
Yeah, and very few about building walls and sending troops to meet them.
In fact, most of the walls in Scripture are walls that get torn down. Walls are torn down in Scripture in order to make room for more people to come into the beloved community.
So you obviously work in an organization that works to spread the gospel, that's an organization that is grounded in that and works in public policy and yet takes a strong position that there needs to be a division between church and state still in our country, and that in the long run is actually better for religion, better for our congregations and our various faiths than to have them interrelated very closely with the government. And that's been a controversial position.
Yeah, I think it's a parsing of the understanding to say that the Council of Churches and many others among us believe in the separation of church and state is to say that the church should not be in the business of politicking for candidates. It is not to say that people of faith should not be in the business of living their lives through the lens of faith. So I have very strong opinions about what should happen in the public square, about how policies in North Carolina or even in the United States should be put together in ways that will allow people to flourish. What does God want for us but to be able to flourish into the fullness of what God has created us to be? If our policies hinder any single person's ability to flourish, then we're thwarting the will of God.
So the election is over, finally, this long election season. What are your thoughts on how we try to get back together a little bit? These are very divisive times that in which we live, and a lot of folks of strong faith are on different sides of the political spectrum. What role does the council have, and what are your thoughts on the need for us to find some common ground and reconciliation going forward as we try to get past the 2018 election and maybe do a little positive coming together?
Well, I've always believed that the faith communities were the best place to have these difficult conversations because in our faith communities, we already have the people of different persuasions. And I've said jokingly, but it's actually very serious, that when your mama dies, somebody is going to bring you a casserole and they're not going to ask you who you voted for in the last election. So if we can love each other in that way, in times of crisis and times of joy in our faith communities, can't we sit down with these same folk and have a conversation about why somebody may feel a particular way on one of these polarizing issues and create places where folks can have authentic conversations? We've actually started working on some curriculum that a church leader might try out in a setting and begin to have those sorts of difficult conversations. We're not the first to do this. Other groups are doing this as well, with mixed results across the landscape.
Well, we hope you'll keep practicing and keep getting better at it. We'll all keep getting better at it. If folks want to learn more about the council, nchurches.org, is that right?
nchurches.org, and there's a bevy of material on there to help you begin to think theologically about the issues in the public square.
Well, Jennifer Copeland, thanks so much for being with us. We'll do this again real soon.
Thank you, Rob.
Keep up the good work. Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Be sure to check us out online and subscribe to our free newsletters at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Henkel, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.